too often, I guess, been preaching for 10 years and you get accommodated staying in front of folks. I was pretty nervous over there. But I'm glad they let me sing. You know, we call that a small youth choir, but I'm 30 years old. So I don't know how we... So some of you that's young, we used to laugh. The church that I came from, it was always the dream of the pastor's wife to have a youth choir. And when I was coming up, it was never enough youth to do anything. So we implemented. Matter of fact, Brother Irvin, we would get asked to go sing different places throughout the years. And Brother Irvin's, he was knocking on 50's door, but he'd find his way up there. And I said, man, we'd go somewhere to ask for a youth choir, and that's what they got, amen. But nevertheless, I appreciate, you know, Sister Kayla working and getting that together. And just singing. I enjoy singing, and I'm just trying to get more into it. The Lord's dealt with my heart to try to do more. And you know, I need to. Amen. Ministry will call you out your comfort zone, and that's where I'm at. One of these days, I'm going to learn to play an instrument, but I better quit procrastinating because, you know, they say it gets harder and harder the further you go. Don't worry. That's no time soon, and I don't want to scare anybody off. Amen. But God bless you. Thank you for being here today, and I just want to read just a few verses of Scripture to you today. If you would, go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And my Bible's over here. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I'm actually just going to read that one verse to you. But I want to preach to you tonight about trusting the Lord. And it seems very elementary in its title. But nevertheless, how many knows we can trust the Lord more? Amen. I feel like God allows us to get in situations. He deals with us where we find ourselves not be able to depend on anything else but Him. And that's not always a comfortable place to be in when you don't know the next step or what to do or what you're going to do. But nevertheless, we know that God uses that as He is stretching us in life. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'll give you another second to get there. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse to you, and if I ain't mistaken, my wife had to correct me. This is her favorite verse in the Bible, and I'm glad that I remembered that. Amen. Proverbs 3 and 5, and this is what it says, and you probably, many of you could quote this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I'm going to read that again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to trust you more, God, and we need your help. We know the Bible tells us to trust you. It mentions it several times. But I'm just going to confess, even as a pastor of a church, God, it's not always the easiest thing from a human perspective to do so. And you know that. That's why you tell us in the Word. You give us instruction. That's why you've given us the Holy Ghost to walk with us. You know it's difficult at times, God. And I would somebody here today may have come in here with a doubting heart, maybe a discouraged heart, maybe a fearful heart. But Lord, let it be said of somebody tonight that they left church on Sunday night with a trusting heart. That would be the greatest thing in my spirit here this afternoon. If that would happen for somebody, that somebody would leave here trusting you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The word translated trust in the Bible is a very simple word. It basically means a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. It is a little different than our word faith, but we know that trust and faith nevertheless tie hand in hand. You cannot separate them because we know faith is a gift from God, but trusting is what we do because of faith that we have been given. When we have been given faith, when we have faith in the Lord, we find ourselves constantly and needingly trusting the Lord on an everyday basis. Trusting is believing in the promises of God in all of life's circumstances, even though those circumstances and the evidence of those circumstances seem to be contrary of what we need to be trusting in. There's many times in life that our situations are so difficult, so hard for us to see, and we close our eyes, we pick up our Bible, and we take another step trusting that God is going to do what He said He would do. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. I love that verse. He says he will keep him not only in peace, but perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Brother Derek, how can I trust the Lord? Keep your mind on Him. Every day of your life, Monday Monday through Friday, Saturday. We could go on and on about the different scenarios and time frames of life, but we need to trust Him. And the way that we can trust Him and be in perfect peace is when our mind is stayed upon the Lord. Now, I read to you what I found in the Bible when I typed this in, and when I asked the internet, what is the greatest verse in the Bible on trust? And of course, that's left to personal interpretation, but this was the most common that came up. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I do believe that when you look at that verse, that is the very concept of trust in the Bible. I believe it sums it up. Because number one, first, I'm going to break this verse down and we're going to go forward here this evening. And I will tell you at the end of this message, we're going to get a little more theological in our mind and try to understand why we can trust God. But right here, number one, first, in that verse, we grasp this. First, it is the Lord in whom we are trusting. It's not ourselves and our plans. And it's certainly not this world's wisdom and devices. We trust in the Lord because He alone is trustworthy. I can trust in Him. I can take everything. And they often tell you in life, don't put your eggs in one basket. But I'll tell you with God, I give you the opposite advice. Put all your eggs in the basket. Trust everything in Him. I say invest your life. Invest your marriage. Invest your children. Invest your time. Invest your money. Invest everything in God, because there He is so trustworthy, because His nature is faithfulness. And when God's attribute is faithfulness, He is faithfulness to the max extent. You can't get no more faithful than the faithfulness of God. You just can't do it. You can't produce it. You can't even think of a greater example. God is ultimately faithful. Number two, it tells us further, because of God's nature, we are to trust Him with our whole hearts, committing every aspect of our lives to Him. Now, it's easy for some of us in this room, and let's just be real and honest here this evening. You may trust in God with part of your heart, with a little bit of yourself, and you've invested in Him this much or that much. But I'll tell you what God wants, and I believe in my own spirit. He gets us all to this place. He wants all of you. Amen. He wants your mind. He wants everything. He wants you to be able to say at the end of the day, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or His seed begging bread. It doesn't matter what you go through in life, you're able to trust Him with your whole heart. And I would go on to say here this evening, that's the only place I would even say put your whole heart. Yeah, I want you to put your heart in your marriage. But understand this, your spouse can let you down. Amen. I know when we're in love and we say, well, ain't no way. Yes, it can happen. They're going to do something you don't like every now and then. They're going to misuse something every now and then. Every now and then your wife's going to burn the cake, or your husband's not going to cut the grass just right. And I could go on and on different scenarios, but you understand what I'm saying. In life, we put our whole heart into God, because really, that's the safest place that you want to be. I want my marriage and my parental relationship to my children and my pastor here at this church. I want you to know me as a young man that is striving to trust into God with his whole heart. Now, I want you to know that I believe this. Amen. This isn't something I just woke up one day and decided to do. No, I want to trust God with my whole heart. Finally, we get to this concept that we are not to trust in our own understanding, in ourselves, because our understanding is very, very temporal. I don't understand everything. And I tried every now and then I realize why you pay people that are professional at things to come do things. Last year I set out to fix my fireplace. And I remember I got under there and I looked at all those pipes and said, I can do this. 5 trips to Lowe's. $150 later. 4 evenings I sat out there underneath the house, uncomfortable, bent and twisted. And I finally went to a fireplace shop, and he said, man, all you had to do was come here. Oh, you just needed this one piece. Well, thank you. And not only that, I was messing with the gas line, and they tell you that's not the best thing to mess with. If you don't know what you're doing, we're still alive, if you notice. Amen. If I invite you over for a fire at the house and hot cocoa, you might hesitate now. But what I'm saying is, I'm limited in my understanding. I've been on YouTube. I'll Google it. I'll do everything that I can do. But yet there's people that know what they're doing. But can I tell you today that even though our mind and our understanding is finite, and it is tainted by our humanness here, we cannot trust in ourselves. One writer said, trusting in ourselves is like walking across a rotten wooden bridge over a chasm thousands of feet deep. Disaster is going to happen when you lean on your own understanding. Something's going to go wrong eventually. Let me ask you a few questions here this evening, and we'll endeavor to answer them. How can I learn to trust in God? I would go ahead and tell you once again, we cannot trust anyone else but Him wholly and fully. We can trust someone, but understand this, we cannot trust someone we do not know. And that is the secret of learning to trust God. It's true today that if somebody comes up to you that is a stranger and they look at you and they say, trust me, there's two reactions you can have. Number one, sure. That probably ain't going to happen if some random guy walks up to you and says, you know what, trust me, give me your money. Give me your bank account information. Trust me. Now, if you're like I am, I'm going to go on just like this. Number one, I'd say no. But another thing, when somebody really comes to you and asks you a really pertinent question, you would ask them, why should I trust you? Why should I? What is going on here? Why should I trust you? In God's case, trusting Him naturally follows when we understand who He is. When you understand who God is and you have put your faith in God, you can understand when He says, trust me, He's not a stranger. Amen. He's not somebody up the road with limited abilities and got cruel intentions. But when God says, trust me, and you pick that Bible up and you read about the nature of God, you say, you know what? The only logical conclusion I can come to is that God is holy. He's right. He'll never do me wrong. He has access to everything. He owns this world. He's the creator. Who else would I trust? When God says, trust me, you ought to say, yes, Lord, I will trust you. The main reason we should trust God is that He's worthy of it. Once again, He's trustworthy. And we could go on and on about that throughout the scriptures. Isaiah 14 and 24, the Lord Almighty has said, surely I have planned. So will it be as I have purposed. So will it stand. When God says something, it is going to happen. Why do we tell you to read your Bible? Not because we just want you to educate yourself on who this person, that person. We want you to educate yourself with who God is. Because we know when a person understands who God is, they'll have no trouble in putting their trust in Him. But what the enemy does, it comes along. And just like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he wants you to distrust God. He wants you to feel like God does not have your best intentions. Or maybe that when you're in a circumstance or a trial or a tragedy or death or addiction or all these people getting these things, and the devil comes to them and say, you can't trust God with your life. And I would tell you once again, that's the only place I would tell you to trust your life is with God. He's the only person. We can learn to trust God as we see how He has proven Himself to be trustworthy. Young folks, let me give you a piece of advice. Look at some of these elder saints. See that they have weathered the storms. See what they have been through. And you can say with a surety, if God did it for them, God can do it for me. Elders, I know the devil likes to come along and say, well, your usefulness in the house of the Lord is not what it used to be. And what can you be? Can I tell you right now, you are setting a pattern and an example for a young generation. I'm 30 years old and I have a wife and two children, but there's been some in this room right here that's endured death and tragedy, and I've watched your faithfulness. And when I see that, I lay a hold of that and say, if they can trust God, I can trust God. You're setting a pattern and an example for the younger generation that they can trust God as well. The record is sure we can trust Him. A third reason to trust God is that we really have no other sensible alternative. If you don't trust God with all your heart, who are you going to trust? Once again, I hope you're looking further and deeper than a relationship with a person. I hope you're looking deeper than medicine and doctors. How many knows that doctors will miss it? I appreciate doctors in the medical field. I know that's a blessing. I'm due for a physical myself. Amen. I want to figure out how much longer I got to live. But I'll tell you this, doctors miss it. I was talking to Brother Israel the other day, and you know, he said when they went into the emergency room, that Cadence, or her blood pressure was 40 over 10. And if I've mixed that up, I'm sorry if you're in a medical field, but really it was bad. It was deathly. And it said he looked at the doctors, look at each other with bewilderment and fear. And he said he's never been so fearful in his life. But he said, what's even threw him off further? He'd been taking his daughter to the doctor. This wasn't the first visit, but yet they didn't catch something. They didn't understand something. What is that? They're humans. Do they have good intentions? Yes, I believe that. I believe they have good intentions. But Brother Israel said, when everything else mattered not, when nothing else came to conclusion, when the doctors began to look at each other, all they could do was look up to the only one that was trustworthy, and that was God. What other choice do we have? The choice should be obvious. But many fail to trust God because, number one, they do not know Him. And when you do not know Him, you will not trust Him as you should. So that leads us to our second point. Brother Derek, if I need to know Him to trust Him, how can I get to know Him? How can I get to know Him? Number one, when we study God's Word, the pattern emerges and never fails. We learn that God never changes, that God never lies. We learn that through the Scripture that God has never failed in the past. He has always been true to His Word. He worked in the lives of the children of Israel as an example. When He said He would do something, He did it. We begin to build trust upon His proven character. When we trust that God will be true to Himself, He will never cease acting like God. He will never cease being sovereign, being holy, and being good. That's the only place that you can get to know Him's in the Bible, and that's where you trust Him. If God's Word says it, find in the Bible where God was hoodwinked. Find in the Bible where God failed. If you're going to start searching now, just take it home. It's a homework assignment, all right? We ain't got time to pause right here. Let me save you a little time. You won't find it. It may appear at times like God didn't know what was going on in the minds of the psalmist or there in the book of Job. But the amazing thing about the book of Job is we're reading it. Job didn't read the book of Job. He didn't realize up in the heavenlies there'd been a conversation between the devil and the sovereign God of heaven. But we now look at that and even understand in suffering and trial that God in His permissive will allows things. And brothers and sisters, we read in the Bible that God is trustworthy, and I believe it. We learn through our own history that He never failed us. I told you to prove others. But folks, God's building a pattern in your own life. He's teaching you to trust. I realize that more and more as I look back over, I've been serving the Lord 10 years. And I look back and sometimes I reflect in prayer. I said, Lord, how did I get here? It really doesn't make any logical sense for me to be standing up here and preaching to you wonderful folks. I looked last week, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, young folks being called in the ministry, people, God blessing and stirring and changing lives. I don't even feel worthy at times, but I look over, it's not Derek Jones's faithfulness, it's been God's. Yes, I've tried my best to walk with Him, but can I go ahead and be honest with you? All the times I realize this, that God's grip is a lot more sturdy than my own. There's times I felt my knees get weak. And my grip get loose. But I felt something grip down on me. And I felt the Holy Ghost testifying within me. And where could I go but to the Lord? When they've talked about me, where could I go but to the Lord? When ministers that I've had confidence in have fallen, where could I go but to the Lord? When through miscarriage, where could I go but to the Lord? Through family situations and lost loved ones and friends dying and ministry hurts and church hurt, where could I go? I realize the grip of God is greater than my own grip, and I can trust in Him. And that's why I stand here tonight, and you could say the same thing. One command God often gave the children of Israel was this, and I love it. It's in the New Testament as well. Remember. Remember. when everything went bad and they're in exile and captivity there. Here it is, they're sitting there and God called them. You remember what I did for your ancestors? Do you remember what I did there at the Red Sea? Do you remember how I brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt with a high hand? Do you remember when they marched into Canaan and then we begin to talk about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph? He began to talk about David and Goliath and there what God was doing time and time again to a disheartened people. He was pointing to the past and said, behold, I will do a new thing for you. Amen. I will make rivers flow in the wilderness. Can I tell you tonight, church, if you don't hear anything else tonight, when the devil comes and he begins to torment your mind, some of you, when the enemy comes and he begins to try to tell you that you're not who you are in Christ Jesus, can you leave here with this mind tonight? Remember what God has already done for you, and you can go forward here this evening. Amen. When we recall the ways God has answered our prayers, it makes me want to keep on praying. I'll be honest with you, I just like being transparent. You know, when you get down to pray sometimes, it's not always the easiest thing to do. And I'm not talking about, you can memorize the Lord's Prayer if you want and go through that rehearsal and all that, but I'm talking about more than that. I'm not talking about a devotional life, because people would say, well, I pray every day, brother. No, there's times you get down and you're praying. He said, Lord, you know what I need. You know it. You know this is happening. You know the situation. And as a pastor, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I begin to look at all the hurt and the pain and things that are going on. I can't handle all this, but I know He can. Amen. God's trusts me to be here. And I feel it's a humble once again, but I'm trusting God with this church. I'm trusting God for your families. I'm trusting Him because I realize my ability is so limited. I remember His faithfulness, that He answers prayer, and I want to keep on praying. We also can learn to trust Him by learning to distinguish His voice from others that compete for our attention. Church, you've got to learn His voice. There's a lot of voices in this world. There's a lot of suggestions. There's a lot of subliminal messaging going on. Amen. They're playing that music in the store for a reason. Believe it or not. It's not just so you'll tap your foot, but they want to relax you. They want you to feel like that $50 ain't that much. You feel pretty good, don't you? You got to be careful in a world of suggestions. You can't even watch the news without something being suggested to a mind. Or bless our children as they go to schools. Things are being suggested to them all the time. They're hearing all these different voices that's competing for their attention. But can I tell you right now that we need to learn His voice? I'm glad it says in the Bible, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They will follow me. I like what Zach Poonen said about this. He said, the sheep know His voice, but the lamb have got to learn it. I'm learning the voice of God. I'm still learning it. Can I tell you, there's been times in my life that God's told me to go when it didn't make any sense. And I thought to myself, Brother Glenn, and I know Brother Glenn knows exactly what I'm talking about. Go, Lord. Go where? Go that way. Lord, it don't make no sense to me. If I went that way, I'm not going to make it. And then you go to talk to somebody and say, why would you go that way? Yeah. I'm like, well, that's what I'm saying. Why would I go that way? But I realize when it's really the Holy Ghost and I go, there's blessings. Yes. There's times He told me go, and there's times He told me no. And guess what? I realized that all through the paths of no's and go's, and there's things He told me to give up, things that He added back to my life. And I'm not talking about sinful things, the things that He's teaching me to learn. When to quit my job, to go to Africa, to come to this church. I'm learning the voice of God. I don't know what the future's going to hold for me. I'm fine right here with you fine folks. God's good to us. And I feel like God's moving in our midst. But I'm still learning His voice. He may speak to me again to do something else. And I'll have to get down and pray and say, God, teach me to trust you, O Lord. Third question, how can I learn to trust in the faithfulness of God? I've done told you today to trust God and that you need to get to know Him. But if you're going to trust Him and you get to know Him, you've got to know that He's faithful. Once again, we can read this all throughout Scripture. It's many places in the Bible, Lamentations 3:22. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad He's faithful? The Hebrew word translated faithfulness means steadfastness, firmness. You ain't going to move them. There's only very few unmovable things in this world. People say, well, mountains are unmovable. Not with dynamite, a little bit at a time. Earthquakes. I could go on and name things that people feel like are immovable. God is really the immovable force, the only one that exists. I don't know how all that adds up in physics, but if God's coming, get out the way or jump on his back because he's going where he wants to go. You're not going to stop him. You're not going to sway him. He's a sovereign God. He is steadfast. Psalms 119, 89 through 90. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. He's faithful, Brother Glenn, for your generation. He's faithful for mine. And what a beautiful picture is Brother Matthew coming into the ministry. He's faithful, Brother Matthew. You can trust him with your life. You can. He's faithful to all generations. Now, I don't know what my daughter sees, and I'm picking on this. We joke about this a little bit, me and some folks here in the church. I mean, my kids get used a lot for an example. Bless their hearts. They're going to get older, and they're going to get self-conscious, but it's going to keep coming. I don't know what else to show you. My daughter thinks a lot of me. Show me your muscles, Dad. I'm like, I said, really? And I'll throw that thing up there. And I mean, I know she's 3 years old, but it's my house. Daddy, can you do this? Nuh-uh. I don't tell her that. So, sweetie, later, sweetie. We'll do that later. But she has confidence in me. You know, right now, I know I've already shared this with you, but she's terrified of insects. Daddy, come in here. I'm like, where's he at, sweetie? He's over there. I'll kill that rascal. She'd go get a tissue. She said, can I pick him up and flush him down the toilet? I said, yes, you can. I'm not teaching her to be insensitive, but we can kill an insect. I hope you're all right with that. But she sees something in me. As a child, trust a loving father. How many knows we can trust our heavenly father more than that? Yes. I'm not going to, we don't have to tempt God. I'm not asking him to do anything special, but he's already proven himself. I pick up this Bible, and if you don't mind me putting it this way, he's already flexing for us. He's letting us know what he's able to do. He shows us his power and his ability. We can trust him as a child trust his father. Let's dive a little deeper now into our minds and the Word. How can we trust that God is in control? We know that he's faithful. He's steadfast. But how can we trust that he's in control? Before we can learn to trust God and that he's in control in all of life circumstances, because sometimes life circumstances in our mind don't make any sense, we've got to answer 4 quick questions. Number 1, is God really in control? Number 2, how much control does he have? And number 3, if he's not in complete control, what's going on? And number 4, how can I learn to trust that he's in control and rest in that? We've got to answer them questions. Number 1, is God really in control? This concept of God's control in the Bible is called the sovereignty of God. Nothing gives us strength. I believe this. Nothing gives us more strength than understanding that God's in control and that he's sovereign. Now, we are Pentecostals. We are Arminianist. We're not Calvinist. But we still believe in the sovereignty of God. Sometimes you get talking about the sovereignty of God and Pentecostals be like, oh, that's Calvinist doctrine. They don't own that doctrine. God was sovereign before John Calvin even existed. And we put it all on his shoulders. You think he was bad? You should read behind St. Augustine. You ought to read behind some of the church fathers. I mean, man, matter of fact, I could go on and read through some different things and quote things to you about them, but they really felt like the sovereignty of God left us no free will at all. We're all robots in this great scheme of things. But God in his sovereignty, listen to this wonderful definition, and I will explain maybe a little along the way. God's sovereignty is defined as his complete and total independent control over every creature, event, and circumstance at every moment in history, subject to none, influenced by none, absolutely independent. God does what he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. God is in complete control of every molecule in the universe at every moment, and everything that happens is either caused or allowed by him. He said, Brother Derek, that means we don't have no free will. No, God's allowed you to have a free will. It doesn't react to his sovereignty. God has sovereignly chosen to give you a free will. And in your free will, you make decisions. He's given you that much rein to live. But he works and deals with us along the way. So I'm not trying to go over your heads, but I want you to understand this. God is sovereign. Isaiah 14 and 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought so it shall come to pass, and I have purpose so it shall stand. Nothing is random or comes by chance to God Almighty. So how much control does God have? I'm going to give you a few theological words, and you can study them in your own time. Number one, God's total sovereignty over all creation directly contradicts a philosophy called open theism. Now, many of you may have never heard of that, and some of you may have. What is open theism, Brother Derek? Open theism believes that as God is in heaven, he does not know what's going to happen next. So every time something happens that he does not expect, God's going to completely alter his plans along the way because he doesn't know what Derek's going to do. He don't know what the devil's going to do. So as life is going on and this existence is going on, somebody does this and God's over there sketching up a new plan here. God's always trying to come up with something new, trying to move the next checker piece, trying to move the next chess piece because he doesn't know what's going on and what's happening next. Do we believe that? I hope not. Matter of fact, I will tell you not to trust him. Because that's no better than what most humans can do. But then there's a doctrine called dualism. Dualism believes that there's another sovereign in direct opposition to God. They believe that the devil is just as great as God is, and that's why God is always having to fight and force, because where there's this ultimate goodness, which is God, there's an ultimate evil, which is the devil, our adversary, and there's an ultimate conflict that God's always trying to fight and win the war. Aren't you glad that ain't true? Yes. But let me warn you, there's some people that live like it. I do not preach nor teach the sovereignty of Satan. And can I encourage you, don't live like he's sovereign either. You can give so much credit to the devil as if God's got an arch enemy somewhere. What is God going to do? The devil's over here doing this. Are you really worried about that? Then you are believing, maybe unadmittedly, you probably don't know it, in dualism. You believe there's another force just as great as them. Even when it appears that way, once again, in the book of Job, it does appear to Job in his earthly viewpoint that there's a great force coming against him. But by the end of the story, they're asking God questions. Why is this happening? And his friends are coming on. So, Job, you must have did this. And Job is saying this. But all of a sudden, I think it's Job chapter 38. God shows up and says, quit talking, Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? And he goes on and names all these animals. He names peacocks and ostrich and crocodiles and unicorns, which are rhinos. And man, he goes on and on and on about snow and weather and skies and angels and songs and heaven, things that we can't even comprehend. And at the end of it, Job says, you know what Job says? He says, Lord, you're right. I abhor myself. I can't stand myself. And when Job understands that God's in control, even when he don't understand it, everything works out to his favor. So can I encourage you, when you look to your left and don't see him, and when you look to your right and you look all around, can you rest assured that God is sovereign? He knows the way that I take. He knows the way. This is Christian maturity. This is what we're trying to build in you as pastors and preachers and teachers. That life will have its ups and downs. And there's sometimes when the downs are so down, you look around and you say, God, what is going on? And God's not afraid of your questions. God's not afraid of your fears. Matter of fact, he tells us, cast all of your cares right here. I often say things like this, and I dread if they would ever happen. But I've told my wife, if I was to die today, don't you dare look to God and act like he's done you wrong. He's done you just fine. Now, I'm not saying she wouldn't feel tempted and the enemy wouldn't come along. But if that ever happened, church, keep her hands held up. I know God can touch her. And I would do that for the same thing for you. But what I'm trying to understand is that if I was to die today, even talking to Brother Israel, and he would agree, even if little Cadence had went on to be to glory, God would have not done us wrong. Why is that? Because God knows what's going on. He allows certain things even when we don't understand it. I remember me and my wife went through that small tragedy when we had that miscarriage. And anybody that's went through this, I know we have had several that's went through it, trying to make sense of that in your mind. I remember holding my wife's hand as she was laid on that couch. I said, I can't tell you anything else, but God knows. This is not something that God is sitting there and saying, man, I didn't expect that one today. What are we going to do for Derek and Holly? He's already planned the next step and knew what was going on. Church, can we be encouraged in those words? Matter of fact, instead of trying to magnify the devil tonight, I just want to slap him down some. Satan knew from the Old Testament that God's plan was to redeem humanity through the death of Christ. In some form, he had to know that a little bit because he tried to persuade Jesus from going to the cross. What he knew, I'm sure, was limited. But if Satan could have just gotten one of the hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah, if he could have got one of them to fail, the whole thing would have collapsed. Think about that. But the numbers of independent free will decisions made by thousands of people were designed by God to bring his plan to pass in exactly the way that he had planned it from the beginning, and Satan couldn't do nothing about it. Boy, I bet he gets frustrated. I mean, he's outsmarted everywhere he turns. He thinks he's got the upper hand. All of a sudden, something changes. He thinks he's going to use Judas, but the whole time God's foreknowledge saw what Judas was going to do. There's no way you can get the upper hand on God. Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. No action by the Romans, the Pharisees, or Judas, or anyone else kept God's plan from unfolding exactly the way he purposed it from before the foundation of the world. That means God allowed Satan rebellion, Adam and Eve's sin, the fall of the human race, the death and the crucifixion of Jesus, all seemingly terrible events to save us before he created us. Here is a perfect example that God's working all things to the good of those that love him and keep his commandments. Are you confused? Because God's in control. Amen. Now we could wrestle with this all day long. How did this happen? God did it. You see how God's bigger than us? I laugh at people trying to explain the Trinity. I'm going to tell you exactly about the Trinity. And I've debated oneness before and Jesus only to get to the end. And I finally tell them, I said, I figured out your problem. You've simplified God. I'm fine with saying I can't describe it all. Three in one and one in three. Come on now. Complex unity, tri-unity. We could go on. I can't explain all that. I can't tell you everything about the new body in heaven and the new Jerusalem. We look at the book of Revelation and we have small grasp of what's going to be. We talk about it. We smile. We rejoice with the saints. But everything comes down to this. God knows what's going on in our lives. Before we leave here tonight, understand there is no magic formula to make us spiritual giants overnight. No mystical prayer to pray three times a day to mature us, build our faith, and make us tower of strength and confidence. There's only this. We've got the Bible, the single source of power that will change our lives. And we begin to read it as the Spirit testifies to us. We understand we're children of God. We are adopted. We cry out, Abba, Father. And we look to God in His sovereignty and know that He's in control. Why would you go anywhere else? Why would you try to serve any other God? Why would you forsake the living God of heaven, the cistern of living water, for broken up cisterns, dry wells? That's all this world is. So my wife comes to the piano here this evening. Why should I trust him, Brother Derek? It's the only logical thing to do. It's the only logical thing to do. Who else would you trust? You know, we live in America. We are a blessed nation. There's men here that served and fought for this country. Thank you for that. But some people believe as America goes, so God goes. There's some, that's Americanism. That's being Americanized. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know what's going to happen in the future of America. Our financial system could collapse. I mean, how many trillions of dollars in debt are we? And you want to have a fun fact? Won't you count to a trillion and come let me know when you got there? You'll be in heaven. And don't lose count like I would. What I'm saying is, we live in a world of so many uncertainties. It's good to have the ultimate certainty in Jesus Christ. In June of 1998, there was a single-engine airplane. And on this airplane, the pilot died. That's a problem. The aircraft began to nosedive. And a man on the plane who noticed what was going on jumped behind the wheel, radioed to the local station. Thankfully, there were two airplanes nearby, two airplane pilots, who were able to instruct this man how to stabilize and to steer the flight. But there's one problem. He's got to land it. That's a problem. Pull up. Okay. Left, right. Down's a problem. And how many agrees if you've ever flown before? I've never liked going down. The pilots had him circle the runway three times before attempting to land. And I bet he wouldn't mind a fourth. Emergency vehicles, as he looked down, he said he seen the emergency vehicles already begin to gather, and he realized they didn't expect this to go well either. How encouraging, you know? Witnesses said that as this man brought this plane in, as the other pilots were giving him instruction, the nose touched to the center, the tail of the plane bounced several times, and then safely landed in a soggy patch of grass, and nobody was injured. The makeshift pilot listened and followed instructions as if his life depended on it, and indeed it did. But could you imagine? As those experienced pilots was radioing back to this man and saying, pull up or turn right. What if that man said, I don't feel like it? He wouldn't make it. When they were giving him all the different scenarios of how to land that plane, what if he said, I think I'll listen to you later, not right now? We would say, that man is so foolish. And when he died, we would not be surprised. But can I tell you a greater example of that is this? When we're walking through this world of dangers and trials and problems and tragedies, and we have the ultimate headquarters in Jesus Christ, when he tells us to pull up, pull up. When he says turn left, turn left. When he says turn right, he'll get you home safely if we'll just continue to listen to him. Stand to your feet all over the church. Why should we trust the Lord? He knows everything. He sees tomorrow. Look, brothers and sisters, your life is going to be full of these scenarios. As God is always going to be constantly leading you to different places at different times. Obey the Lord and let God bless you. Find you a place to pray this evening for a season of prayer. Empty them pews, or you can pray in your pew, those that can't get out their pew. But pray. Ask God to trust Him more. Ask God to trust Him more. When He gives you direction, listen, He knows what He's doing. We're not afraid to trust Him. Not afraid to let God have His way in our lives.